The godly woman is absolutely clear about the purpose of all her activity. She has an effective filter by which to decide what she should do and what she should not do, and indeed to know why it is that she's doing what she does.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, last time we were looking at a man after God's own heart. And today we're turning the tables and we're looking at the women. And it sounds like today we're going to be looking at that Proverbs 31 woman.
You're right, Steve. We're in Proverbs 31. And I know that there will be some women who immediately say, oh, no, mercy on
right.
me. Not the Proverbs 31 woman. You know, she's impossible as an example. She's beyond anything we can do. And yet, you know, let's give the Word of God an opportunity here. It is the Word of God, and it always comes to us with grace.
Yeah.
There are some wonderful, wonderful practical helps that are so grace-filled when we actually get a gospel-centered approach into Proverbs chapter 31. That's what we're going to try and do today. I hope that it's going to bring a lot of encouragement for women who sometimes feel overwhelmed, as we guys often feel overwhelmed, mm-hmm. and yet God's grace is sufficient.
It is. So let's get right into today's message. It's called A Woman of Godly Character. Here's Pastor Colin.
I want to do two things today. The first is to cast a vision of godly womanhood. And then the second is to offer some encouragement with regards to pursuing this. And so for the women, I hope and have prayed very much this week that seeing the broad sweep of God's purpose for your life will be a blessing and will be an encouragement to you. And for the men, and especially for the husbands in the congregation, I hope that we will be challenged today about how we can help our wives flourish with the kind of confidence that we see in this godly woman. So let's take a look at this together. I want us to see first the boundaries of this godly woman's life, and then having seen these, as they're very clear in the passage, the freedom, the glorious freedom that the godly woman has within these boundaries. First then, the boundaries of her life. I want you to notice that the godly woman defines the boundaries of her life by two relationships. The first is her relationship with her husband, and the second, her relationship with the Lord. Notice here the relationship with the husband in verse 12. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And then in verse 30, you will see her relationship with the Lord. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, these two relationships of this married lady, the relationship with her husband and the relationship with the Lord, they stand like bookends at the beginning and end of this great poem. They establish that the glory of God, who she fears, and the good of her husband, who she loves, are the boundaries of her life. And within these boundaries, the whole poem lays out a display of her marvelous freedom. Let's look then at these two boundaries. First, her relationship with the Lord. Verse 30. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And here the poem speaks to all women, whether married or single. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, what does that mean? Well, fearing the Lord very simply means that you let God's word have weight in your life, that you submit yourself to it. In other words, when your ideas and your desires are in tension with what God has revealed in the Scripture, you reshape your ideas and your actions to what he has said. In other words, it is the commitment of your life made in advance that you submit yourself to God. And of course, the only alternative to this is that you imagine that God should submit himself to you, and obviously that is not going to happen. The fear of the Lord, and this runs right throughout Proverbs and other places of the Bible, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's Proverbs 1:7. And this word wisdom can be translated life skills. If you want to know how to put your life together, here's where it begins. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So let me ask right at the beginning this morning, is this commitment to fear the Lord established clearly in your life? Have you come to the place where you're absolutely clear that priority number one for you is that you will actively pursue God's purpose that you should be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, his Son? And are you ready as a point of principle and commitment to say wherever my thinking, my behaving, my attitudes are in tension with what God has said, it's my thinking, my behaving, and my attitudes that have to change? That's what it means to live in the fear of the Lord. And of course, that is how you grow. The only alternative, and we do see it often, is that you read the Bible through a filter. And you accept everything that agrees with what you think already and dismiss everything that is in tension with it. And if you feel free to dismiss, reinterpret, push to one side what God says in his word because it does not fit with who you are or what you want, then you do not fear the Lord. You may put your life and your family together in a way that you think is appropriate, but at the end of the day, it will be, Jesus says, like building a house on the sand. If you hear my words and do not put them into practice, that's what it will be. So let me give this encouragement that is absolutely foundational to pursuing a godly life, indeed, whether it be for men or for women. If you want to build your life on a solid foundation, the place to begin is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it is the defining mark of the godly woman. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so Lemuel's mother says to her boy, son, you're going to be a king one day, and as you think about the woman to whom you will trust your life, the woman you will ask to marry you, make sure she's a woman who fears the Lord, in whose life the word of God carries weight. Because that's the kind of woman who will be able to build a marriage, a life, a family that is honoring and pleasing to God. Now look at the second relationship that defines the boundaries here. Her relationship with the Lord. She fears the Lord, and that's something worthy of praise. Secondly, her relationship with the husband, verse 12. Her husband has full confidence in her. That's wonderful. And lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Now, bringing her husband good is this woman's first commitment under God, period. That's what we're being told here. And we're going to see that the range of this woman's activity and her authority is broad, wide, and I think perhaps surprising for some. But before we get to that, Proverbs is laying down this key principle that in this wide range of what this woman is able to do and capable of doing, the motivating fountain for what she is doing and for the choices she makes in her many activities is that everything that she does is an expression of her life commitment, which is to bring good to her husband. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. You see how verse 12 and verse 30 are the bookends to this whole passage? Marvelous description is going to come in between, but it is bounded by these primary commitments of this remarkable woman's life. And I think this is very important, very practical for us. There are many women today who are relentlessly busy and have no idea as to why they're doing what they're doing. And of course, that is always a formula for frustration and for burnout. But the godly woman is absolutely clear about the purpose of all her activity. She has an effective filter by which to decide what she should do and what she should not do, and indeed to know why it is that she's doing what she does. Her life falls within the boundaries of two life commitments: to fear the Lord and to bring good to her husband, And there is nothing in all that she does that falls outside of that.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called A Woman of Godly Character as we take a look at the Proverbs 31 woman. We've also looked at David, a man after God's own heart, and these two messages make up our series, Godly Character. If you miss a broadcast in the series, listen online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on this station every day because of your financial generosity. And as we approach the end of this year, if you consider year-end giving, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider Open the Bible and make your gift before the end of tomorrow. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. Let's get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
Now, this phrase, to bring him good all the days of her life, is a beautiful phrase. It's a wonderful phrase. It's probably as clear a description as you will find anywhere in the Bible of what is meant by this word submission. And I had some light on this in a very different context today. I was talking with one of the professors at Trinity University earlier this week, and he was speaking in the conversation about how a large church has many ministries, and each one has its own particular mission. But he said the mission of each ministry in the church has to support the mission of the whole church. Then he said, you see, that's what submission is. It is putting your mission under something or someone else. I thought, that's brilliant. I'm going to speak about this subject on Sunday, and wrote it down. Now, you see, think about it. Without submission, without the ability to place what I do under something larger, without that principle being at work, a family becomes a group of independent people living at the same address off the same checkbook. That's all it is. Without submission, a church becomes a group of independent ministries operating at the same location and off the same budget. Submission means that I take all that I could do and the things that I might like to do, and I place them and I evaluate them and I decide them under a higher mission to which I have already committed myself. And the mission to which this woman has committed herself, that is the grid by which she is able to make decisions about her life, is that she fears the Lord and that she will bring good to her husband. Now, you see, if you do not have submission, you do not have unity. You cannot. Submission is the key to unity. If you don't have submission, you don't have unity in the family. If you don't have submission, you don't have unity within the church. It is impossible. I've been thinking about how this works out, for example, in my own life. I think about how it works in the relationship that I have as a senior pastor with the elders. See, there are many, many things that I am asked to do. And frankly, many things that I'd like to do. Ideas that I have, all kinds of them. Too many, really. So how do I decide what I should do? Well, I obviously use my own judgment. But then God has placed me under the authority of the elders, so I submit my judgment to these men. I've been asked to speak at this conference overseas. What do you think? I'd like to write a book. What do you think? I think I've found a person who can help us move ministry forward. What do you think? Now, you see, in a healthy relationship, a normal pattern will be one of enthusiastic partnership. But there have been times, and there will be times, when the elders will say, no, no, Colin, that's a wrong idea. This is the wrong time. Colin, you got too much on your calendar. Colin, that doesn't fit with the big pieces of where we're going. Now, submission means that I have decided in advance to receive their word as the Lord's word to me. And of course, that's not always easy. But it's a good thing. And it is God's pattern. And it's also a joyful thing for two reasons. Because here are a group of men who care for me, and an environment of love makes this kind of submission easy. But what makes it easiest of all is that their mission is my mission. That's what it is. It's one mission that we share together, in which we are able to make decisions because of clear agreement as to what it is we're trying to accomplish. Now, the godly woman has a very simple definition then of success. It's fearing the Lord, and it's bringing good to her husband. And whatever is advancing these things is within the wonderful freedom that is hers and his, within these great commitments that give direction and wonderful boundaries to life. An unbounded life is a terrible thing, an impossible thing. Now, notice before we move on from this, and I think this is very important, that the commitment is to the good of her husband rather than the good of her children. Now, that really needs thinking about carefully. Of course, she does good to her children, but the commitment is to bring good to her husband all the days of her life. God created Eve as the partner for Adam, not for the children, not for Cain and Abel, but as the partner and as the helper for Adam, and that is very significant for strong and for healthy families. See, for this reason, when children become the center of the family, they soon begin to feel that they are the center of all things. And if your children grow up with this feeling that they really are the center of all things, they will soon imagine that God exists for them just as you do, and that will make them idolaters. Now, it is Satan's work. Think about this. It is Satan's work to make your children think that they can take the place of God. And we need to be very careful that we do not do Satan's work for him. So the godly woman's commitments are very, very clear, and they're foundational to healthy family life. She lives for the glory of God and for the good of her husband, and everything that she does is an expression of this life commitment. The boundaries in which she thrives. Now I want us to take a look together at the extraordinary life that this woman has as she pursues this marvelous direction. Are you ready? Here we go. Her freedom within the boundaries. I want us just to take in the scope of what this woman is free to pursue as Lemuel's mother gives counsel to her son. It really is quite extraordinary. It's a poem, so we're going to move through it very quickly. But I want us just to get the sense of this woman's life and of her freedom. Look at her joy in verse 13. She selects wool and flax, and she works with eager hands. The emphasis is on the word eager, willing. There's an enthusiasm, a joyfulness, a fulfillment that she finds in her work, a cheerfulness in all that she does. Notice her creativity, verse 14. She is like the merchant ships. Said to Karen, I don't know that's a compliment. She is like a ship. But what it's speaking of here, bringing her food from afar. What she does is she brings variety. That's what it's saying. Creativity, freshness into family life and into her home. Without her, life would be a dull routine. But she brings color. She brings warmth. She brings life into, she turns a house into a home and blesses all who come there. There's an old Chinese proverb I found that says, 100 men can make an encampment, but it takes one woman to make a home. Look at her discipline, verse 15 and verse 17. She gets up while it is dark. She provides food for her family. Verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously and her arms are strong for her task. Now I want you to see her enterprise. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. And out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. So this woman, besides the homemaking that she has, evidently has an eye to business. She makes linen garments, verse 24, and she sells them. She supplies the merchants with sashes in her hands, verse 19. She holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. Talk about multitasking. This woman is amazing. Look at her compassion, verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Look at her planning, verse 21. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She's a planner. If you look at her appearance, verse 22, she is clothed in fine linen and purple. She has, in other words, the dignity of a woman who cares about her appearance because she knows that she is called to greatness as one who fears the Lord and as one who brings good to her husband. And it's possible to make both too much and too little of that point. The Bible grants us wisdom between these two opposite errors. I'm very struck by this. As the king's wife, let's face it, she could have lived a life of full-time leisure in the palace. But what we're being told here in this description is that the woman of noble character has the broadest imaginable sphere of activity and of ministry and of life and of creativity and of work within the commitments that she has made that guide her life, that what she is about at its heart is a woman who fears the Lord and a woman who brings good to her husband.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and we're going to have to pause the message right here. It's called The Woman of Godly Character, and it's part of a short two-part series simply called Godly Character. We've been looking today at the freedom a woman has, and next time we're going to look at some encouragement, so I hope you make it a point to tune in. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always come and listen online. Our website address is openthebible.org. That's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Pastor Colin's new book. It's called Hike Through the Bible. It's 50 chapters taking you through the whole Bible story from Genesis to Revelation. And Colin, who is this book for?
Well, we have Fly Through the Bible for those who are looking for a place to begin. Then Drive Through the Bible obviously takes people a bit further. But for everyone that wants to get serious about the Bible story, Hike Through the Bible is for you. I mean, this is where you get your boots on the ground and really get to grips with what the Bible is all about. And you'll discover that the whole Bible is one story, that the whole of it points to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I wrote this for people who want to have a better grasp of the Bible. I wrote it for people who want to have a deeper love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And just by way of encouragement, if you think that hiking sounds like hard work, well, you can hike at a gentle pace. This is 50 chapters, and that's designed so that you could do one a week, a nice gentle hike through the Bible, so that at the end of the year, you really have grasped the Bible as a whole, and you've got a clearer grip on what it is that God's saying into your life.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book, Hike Through the Bible, as our way of saying thank you for financially supporting Open the Bible this month. You can give a gift online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. And again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
This is Pastor Colin, and I want you to know about a resource that will help you in your devotional life. It's called Open the Bible Daily. My colleague, Pastor Tim Augustine, takes what you hear on Open the Bible and he edits it into daily bite-sized chunks that you can read in your devotional time in less than 3 minutes. Every day, you'll find a verse of Scripture, a short teaching from God's Word, and an application that you can carry with you through the day. People who use this tell us that they read it every day, and I think that if you try it, you'll love it too. For more information, visit openthebible.org/daily. That's openthebible.org/daily.